Welcome to Practice Care with Carl White, the podcast where we help practice owners in healthcare know just enough about the business side to make good business decisions and keep their practices independent. Now our host, Carl.
So imagine that you want to own your own practice, but the thought of it just seems so overwhelming that you get stuck and you're not sure what to do. Well, my guest today says that franchising is another viable option towards ownership. I'm Carl White, principal at a company called Mark Advisory Group, which is a healthcare marketing agency. And I'm also the host of Practice Care, which is all about simplified advice, bite-sized advice for the business side of your practice. And today, my guest is Michael Liss. Michael is a franchise attorney with Fran Law, the Franchise Law Experts. He's represented over 1,000 franchisees, franchisors, and other clients. He served as in-house general counsel for nationally known franchisors. He's a member of the State of Illinois Attorney General's Franchise Advisory Board. Michael helps create new franchise systems, and he helps people buy franchises to start and succeed. He's a member of the American Bar Association Forum on Franchising, the International Franchise Association, the American Franchisee Association, and the American Association of Franchisees and Dealers. Michael, it is clear as day that you know a lot about both sides of franchising. I really appreciate you coming on Practice Care today.
You're welcome, Carl.
So I was really excited to have you on because for most practitioners, at least on the medical side of the healthcare world, it's either be a private practice owner or go work for somebody else, either a hospital or a health system. There's a lot of private equity that's not new coming in. You're kind of an owner, kind of not, depending on how it's structured. And people can look at this and go, well, none of these seem very appealing to me, but neither does truly, you know, owning everything soup to nuts private practice. And I'm hoping that you can shed some light on franchising today so that people understand it's another option out there. And if you look, without even looking hard, you can find there's a lot of healthcare-based franchises. Home care, home health care, urgent care, physical therapy, hearing loss. And that was just without even looking hard. So it's clear franchising in the medical world, not new, tried and true, but might be new to some people who are listening. So really hoping we can break this down a bit. It's always good to start with like a story or an example of a client that you've had that's had a good successful run, in this case, franchising, to help our listeners start to wrap their heads around it. So can you give us one of those?
Certainly. I think one that might come to mind is The Joint. It's a chiropractic kind of franchise. And it's a good example because like many of the medical franchises, the real benefit to the chiropractor is the system and the branding. It's not so much about how to do the actual medical service. That's what the doctors learned in school. There could be some ongoing updates in that, but really it's about the business side of the medical practice and the marketing side to attract people to the practice. So now we all know what The Joint is, all right? And franchisors provide that system and provide that brand. And so our client was one of the chiropractors, and he bought that franchise. We help them with reviewing what are very lengthy franchise documents, incorporating leases, and ongoing contracts that may come up.
Got it. And how's it going for that franchisee today?
He's great. I mean, yeah. he's one of the happy ones out there.
Okay, great. Great. So that's a nice segue into something that was on my mind as I was getting ready for this. What is the type of person who's a good fit to become a franchisee? I mean, no model fits everybody, right? So what's a good fit? What's a bad fit?
Yeah, that's a good question in the sense of, square peg in a round hole.
Right.
Franchisors have this, they have their own system, right? You've been saying that.
Yeah.
It's their way of doing business. It's, you know, if it was in the fast food world, we'd talk about how to make the French fries or how to make the food or something like that, the pizza. Mm-hmm. That franchisor doesn't want the franchisee to change it. They want the franchisee to use the system and provide a similar kind of service and with a similar marketing plan and a similar operational support. So the conflict that could come up is if the franchisee doctor sort of like buys the franchise, he buys the recipes, but he doesn't follow them.
You mean like on the operational side or on the patient,
right.
Not on the patient treatment side?
No, because the franchisors don't tend to focus on treatment. They tend to focus on the operational and the marketing branding.
Got it.
But I've seen franchisees that they say, oh, I know better, and I'm going to operate differently, even though I bought the franchise.
Right.
Or I'm going to do something to the brand name differently.
Right.
And that will make a franchisor go berserk.
Yeah. And it's kind of like follow the playbooks you're given.
Right.
You got to be willing to do
that. It would seem obvious that one would do that. But if you're a little too independent, you're a little too just my way, it's going to be hard to belong and implement somebody else's system.
Right.
So you have to want that.
Okay. Have you seen that? Have you seen people kind of go off the reservation?
Both inside and outside of fast food and non-fast food, medical kind of things. It's just, you're really all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not like one toe in to franchising.
Got it. Okay.
Right? There's a system. There's a way.
Yeah.
You know, you can say that it's the recipe or the guidebook or the color by numbers. And thank goodness I have that. Or some other people view that as confining, as restrictive. And if you know that about yourself, that you view it as confining and restrictive, then you wouldn't want to put yourself into that.
Right. So we've got one good fit, bad fit. So the good fit is you're willing to take the playbooks that are given and follow them more or less. I mean, nobody's quite perfect, but follow them more or less. Right. And so the flip side of that is if you're like, hell no, my way. I've listened to you saying this. And
they aren't just a few suggestions. There's the way.
There's the way, right? So, and I just wonder why somebody would, maybe they didn't know or they didn't believe it, but why you would spend, you know, a pretty penny to buy into this and then just stray from it all day long. But so that's one good fit, bad fit characteristic of people. Is there any others that you think, boy, if you're not sure about, if you can't say this about yourself, you really maybe shouldn't do this or you should do it because you do.
There's a cost to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pay, you know, $50,000, $80,000 up front. You're going to pay another maybe $50,000 a year to continue every year. But the normal result is because of the franchise branding and system, you have way more coming in on the top line revenue. So it more than makes up for the additional expense of the royalties, that $50,000 a year number.
Right. So there's the buy-in number. So you've got a buy-in, and then there's royalties, which you pay every month or quarter or whatever it is.
Right.
So yeah, I guess you have to believe I'm getting more back because I'm in this system than if I did it on my own.
Right.
Okay.
One way you have help in believing that is that before you can buy a franchise, the franchisor must give you a 200 or 300 page legal document that includes the phone numbers of all the other doctor franchisees that are in the system.
All of it.
And the purpose is expressly that you can call them and talk about their own experience.
Okay.
It's not just a favorite three, it's all.
It's all of them. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So how do you find? Is it up to you then to find, I want to get a diversity of opinion and feedback, but it's up to me to find what that might be.
Right. You might say, I only want to call ones that are within, you know, 50 miles of where I'm hoping to open. Or after a while you go, I don't know, is Milwaukee that different really?
Yeah.
You know, and it turns out you can call out of state and you'll get lots of info, and whatever info you get, whether that's good or bad, it needs to also satisfy that fit, that connection with the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
And, but being able to talk to everybody else, all of them, is very unique.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. So it's up to you to go find the diversity if that's what you want, but yeah, they're all there.
Right.
I wonder how often do you find people, they get to that stage of the process and they call around and then they change their mind. Have you seen that?
It's a very emotional process to buy franchises, I've found. And people,
what do you mean?
So they sort of come to the belief that they want to do it. And then they do behaviors to just sort of justify it, just to rationalize it.
Got it.
And so this stage of when you could call other franchisees, rather than, you know, each great call might take an hour. All right. Mm-hmm. And you might have to call three people to get one who will talk to you for an hour. Well, many people will only call two or three or four existing franchisees.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have one or two long calls.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? I mean, why wouldn't you have enough to have some kind of statistical, you know, sample set? You know, maybe you have 10 or 20 long calls.
Yeah.
You can really get a sample of what's out there.
Yeah.
But that's pretty rare. Most of the time people call 2, 3, 4, they hear some positive things, and then they expand that to be, well, it must be all positive. Just like I assumed.
Right. I hadn't thought of that. That's interesting. Yeah, you can get yourself tied in, and you tell yourself, this is what I want to do. I hadn't thought of that. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, I mean, from at least the franchisee perspective, but you know, there could be some folks listening who are thinking, I want to franchise what I do to become a franchisor. If you think about kind of higher level, you know, pros and cons for folks who are listening, more advice, you know, for them to chew on, what would you say to them?
Well, it's what you're kind of doing is franchising your success. You know, it's what you were doing well.
Is it on the franchisor side or both sides?
It can work both ways. Was your question more about becoming the franchisor or becoming the franchisee?
I guess one at a time, but each, because there could be people thinking on both sides of it.
So I thought on the franchisor side, you have to really have the success. You're not, mm-hmm. not just a work in progress.
Okay.
Right? So you need to have systems. You need to have a brand that's been trademarked. You need to be making gobs of money. You need to have the personality to be a trainer and a coach. In the fast food world, they call it Hamburger University. Because it's all about, the franchisor is a trainer. It's all about teaching people at the beginning and being an ongoing coach.
Got it.
So you need, it's not about making hamburgers or healing patients. The franchisor is business coaching services that they provide.
Okay.
And you also need to be able, again, to afford it. The franchisor business will be a new business.
Okay.
As opposed to the medical practice that the doctor had before. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to have a need for people and marketing and design, writing manuals and all that stuff that franchisors have. You have to be able to afford that too.
Okay. Yeah. You're not really a doctor anymore, are you? You are.
No.
Yeah.
You're at that point. I mean, you have a lot of like, well, back when I was practicing, mm-hmm. you know, but at that point, no, you're an advisor to doctors.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the franchisee side, pros and cons and things, you know, I think that step again about calling existing franchisees, mm-hmm. I can't say enough about it. So you really know what the system is. It's not what's on the website. It's not just what the marketing person tells you is the franchise. Mm-hmm. It's what all the existing franchisees do. So I always urge people to call 60 and maybe 20 of them they'll have long calls with. And I like that big number because it sort of means that there'll be a really meaningful pattern to the answers. It won't just be one guy who was happy.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be, I talked to 20 of them and, 15 of them were happy. They had sales, blah, blah, blah. They had a relationship with the franchisor a certain way, the quality of the training, the quality of the marketing, you know, and there's always a few outliers that see it differently, but you see the pattern. And, everything gets talked about in those calls. You'd think people wouldn't talk about sales or personalities of the franchisor personnel, but they do.
Yeah.
I don't know, if you're going to open up a new office, a new location, you know, and I'd have to call it, you know, Smith Doctor Practice and teach everybody in the neighborhood what that is. All right.
Yeah.
But instead, I could be some brand name that's known, you know, throughout the market because there's 100 other offices,
mm-hmm.
right? And they all go, oh, I know them, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. They kind of know it as a them, but they're willing to try you as, you know, Dr. Smith.
Right.
And so you have this whole kind of customers know the name, which leads to, you know, instant revenue. You do get the training. You do get the guidance. You know, if you're thinking about buying the franchise in its initial and its ongoing, there's usually some kind of mentor leader type that is running the franchisor. You know, that you as the franchise buyer really like to be around, to kind of absorb from the things that he does. You know, this can be the, you know, the Colonel Sanders and fried chicken. It can be the Ray Kroc and McDonald's, the Fred DeLuca and Subway, where there's just somebody that, you know, they've walked a mile in the same shoes.
Yeah.
You know how to do it.
Yeah.
The franchisor helps with all these business aspects too, of like site locations for the office, office lease negotiations, setting up computer systems, helping with personnel to get hired, the marketing plans, you know, and it's not only just initial setup, but it's ongoing too. And yeah, maybe the doctor could figure things out, maybe for all the business side.
Yeah.
Because they're very smart, but it's already figured out.
Yeah.
Now you just have to implement.
Yeah.
And you can have other people on your staff implement.
Yeah.
There can be group discounts, meaning if the office buys supplies or equipment or furniture, if you have enough offices buying that stuff, then the vendors will give a discount. And I had one system I can remember where the discounts saved more money than what it costs to pay royalties.
Wow.
For paying, you know, to be a member.
Is that a common practice amongst franchisees?
Not quite that far, but co-op group discounts are really quite common.
Okay.
And then they have this co-op advertising, which is really kind of cool, where, you know, you could spend a lot of money promoting your own store, your own medical practice. But imagine if you had, you know, the 50 offices in Chicagoland and each one kicked in, I don't know, $1,000 a week or a quarter or whatever. And you bought the kind of promotional marketing that you can with those big bucks, where you can you can spend $50,000 a week.
Yeah.
All right. And the name gets blasted out on billboards or on social media or on the Super Bowl game ads, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah.
How does a Subway sandwich store end up on a Super Bowl ad?
Yeah.
Because there's so many contributing.
I mean, the common theme that I'm hearing on the positive side is, in a way, you can be larger than yourself because you're part of something larger than yourself.
That's a good way to say it. I haven't really thought about it that way, but you're right. That's what
whether you're buying stuff or whether you're promoting yourself or just by virtue of having an established brand name rather than establishing yourself. So what's the dark underbelly? That's a great list of, you know, great things about it, but is there some dark underbelly stuff?
Well, there is the cost I mentioned.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. There is the good training and guidance can become, for some people, restrictive, confusing, binding. Now, the same training one person might take as, I'm glad I'm getting it, the other person would say, too much.
Interesting.
Right? But the franchisor has their way. Not all franchise systems are alike. So even if you had, you know, three doctor franchises, they really won't be similar when you get right down to it. The kind of support, the kind of training, the marketing beliefs, the attitudes will reflect the management and heavily the owner of the franchisor. Again, you want to, I think I've said it a couple of times, but this idea of you're going to belong in this system and you're going to implement it, you have to be willing to do that. If instead you think just some helpful hints I'm buying, you know, like going to a seminar, you know, this weekend, that's not what it is.
Right.
It's a whole lifestyle.
Right. I think of it as, like, in my own world here in Market Advisory, I say, you know, there's just certain systems I need to surrender to, and I just need to do them that way. Because and stop thinking about it. I mean, I can maybe one day I'll make them better, and I'm not part of a franchise at all. So it's just there's certain ways to get things done efficiently, but it's kind of similar. I mean, just surrender to the system you created, or in this case, a franchise case, surrender to the system you have purchased. You spent good money on it, why don't you at least give it a shot? Or if you really know about this about yourself, be honest and say, look, I like being a little bit more, I don't like the word cavalier, but it feels confining. And boy, if it feels confining when you're hearing about it, it's going to feel really confining when you're living it all day.
Because there's another person that will look at all those same requirements as liberating.
Right. I have to think about it. That's the point. I mean,
right. I don't have to worry about X and Y and Z. The franchise system already took care of that.
Right. If I just do what they said.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. So a lot of this is about, it's kind of like the psychology of you. Are you a good fit for this? Which is the same as, do you want to, I opened this with, it's overwhelming to think about owning, your practice truly on your own. And some of that could be, I'm just not sure I'm meant for this. Even if it's buried so deep in how you think about it, you can't articulate it that way. But any practice model, any business model has got good fits and bad fits. And there's a lot of promises to franchises. But for listeners, if you're thinking about this, just be eyes wide open about it and be honest about it. So when you get to those 60 calls, or if you make six and get one, the person you're talking to could just be a naturally optimistic person and everything's great. You don't know that, or they could be a naturally negative person. You don't know that either. So you got to.
There's a slogan out there, Carl, where they use in franchising. It's called you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself.
There you go. So do you want a kind of a partnership?
Right.
Can you play well with others, I guess? Maybe that's the way to think about it. If you just you just want to be in the sandbox on your own, maybe not so much, but okay. So in the interest of kind of, bringing us to the finish line, because this is a good introductory, overview of, should I keep thinking about franchising or not, or should I start? But is there anything that you think that I should have asked you, but just didn't?
I think one thing I would talk about is financing.
Okay.
How one affords to open up an office and to buy a franchise, and let alone the ongoing numbers. I think there's a need to work the spreadsheets to make sure that people can really afford to do this. And it'll take longer time periods than anybody expects. There's a need for working capital. Doesn't all happen with one snap of the fingers.
Right. Franchises, do they kind of give a, any kind of pro forma projection?
They'll do that. They'll also do introductions to certain lenders and equipment leasing companies that are comfortable, in this vertical, this way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll help with the preparation of a loan proposal packages.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just call up the banker and say, I'm this great doctor with this great franchise, loan me $1 million. You have to give them a book. You have to explain it all. You have to put it all in writing. And so the loan officer at the bank can then take it back to the loan committee and they can all dissect it. Perfect. And there's a way to do it. But if you just try and do the, trust me, I'm a good borrower, it won't happen.
Yeah. So there's a common theme between this and a number of other, that, a lot of the guests that have come on have been people who service the healthcare profession, the private practice world, one way or another. And one of the common themes is start earlier than you think you might need to, because there's a lot of preparation for whatever the issue is. And this is your business model. You would think even more lead time. Don't have the clock working against you. Perfect. Okay. So, final question is, for those who are listening that are thinking about this, what are one or two tangible steps or pieces of advice you would give them that they should, do next as they think about this world?
I think two might be in trying to answer, how would they find a particular franchise, particular brand? You mentioned at the beginning of the, Carl, that, there's all these different categories, but how do you find it quickly? Many of these, all right? Mm-hmm. And there's two avenues that they may not know about. One is in the January issue of Entrepreneur Magazine, there's 1,000 franchises listed and they're grouped. Mm-hmm. They're grouped by categories, like here's the medical ones, here's the hot dog ones, here's the plumbing ones, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can quickly get a listing of the name, the phone number, the website, the number of open offices, and some highlights of what it costs to get started.
Okay.
And so that's Entrepreneur Magazine, and it's also online at .com.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, there's a whole group of people out there now. They call themselves franchise coaches or franchise brokers.
Right.
What they do is someone comes in and says, I'm thinking about a franchise and I got this background. And what that franchise coach will have is 300 or 500 different franchise chains that they represent.
Okay.
And maybe 5 of those, maybe 15 of those will be medical related.
Okay.
And that coach will be used to talking to people about each of those separate concepts.
Okay.
And then eventually, you know, if you liked one or two, he'd pass you on to the franchisor to get even more in depth. And it doesn't cost any more to buy it with the help of a coach or to buy it directly from the franchisor. The franchisors just view it as part of their cost. But they're pretty helpful because they've been through so many of these. I like those guys.
Okay. So think about a coach and start whittling the vast set of choices out there down into something that feels perfect.
Otherwise, you're going to be up at midnight, you know, hours and hours on Google just trying to, find out things. And that's okay, too. But it's hours and hours at midnight.
Yeah. Right. Sounds like the coach kind of helps you focus and sift through, useful info versus non-useful info and find good fits. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And Michael, thank you again for coming on Practice Care. We're going to put all of your contact info in the show notes, but what's your preferred way for folks to get in touch with you?
Oh, our simplest way is either be a phone call or an email. So 630-571-5625 or mliss, that's MLISS, at franlaw.com.
Perfect. And Michael, can you work with clients nationwide or are you?
Yes, we work all across the country and help them get started and expand their businesses.
Perfect. Perfect. And a couple of other points before we end the episode. First, if you're people like Michael and me and you work with private practice owners, or if you are a private practice owner and you've got an experience that you think others would benefit from hearing, we want you to come on Practice Care. There's a link in the show notes to the website page that you need to go to. There's a quick form to fill out. Please do so right away so we can get you scheduled. And finally, please make sure to subscribe to Practice Care on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks very much, and until next time.
Thank you for listening to Practice Care with Carl White. Make sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss another episode. You can find our guest contact information in the show notes. Stay tuned for the next episode.